Friends, as we prepare our hearts for this sermon, will you pray with me? Our God of wonder, our God of light, we are so grateful for who you are, for all you have done for us, and for all your beloved creation in these days that are so very hard for so many of your precious children, O God. We thank you for this opportunity to be reminded of your light and your love in this world. We need, O God, to be reminded of your light and your love in this world. As we explore the Epiphany story this morning, as we think and pray about how you might be calling us to respond to your light and love, God, open our hearts and help us to see all you have done and all you call us to be. Guide us to your perfect light in these moments, our God. Amen. Well, friends, as we heard the scripture story read this morning, I wonder what stood out to you. I'm hoping that some of you wrote this in the comments section on our Facebook page, and I'm looking forward to going back or maybe to speaking with some of you this week, especially in our Tuesday night sermon group. I'm curious to hear what piqued your curiosity or touched your heart. The story is so full of wonder and curiosity and information. My goodness, in just those first three verses alone, we have so much to process. Who were these magi who came from the east? What kind of star must this have been that would guide them so directly to Bethlehem? How did they know this star was the sign for the king of the Jews? What were they thinking, stopping in Jerusalem to check in with King Herod, someone who was known to be so power-hungry and paranoid? And why? Why didn't anyone else seem to realize what this star meant? What were those chief priests and legal experts doing while God was literally sending a stellar message to the world, announcing the birth of God's Son, the Messiah King? I mean, these are just a few of the questions that surface for me as I read this story. And yet, as much as I want to know more details and facts about the mystery that surrounds this fascinating story, you know, my heart is also simply captivated and inspired by it, by the response of these mysterious magi. That they would journey far away from their homes, clearly not entirely sure where they were going, but having seen that star, they were so eager to see what God had done, so wholeheartedly determined to find and to worship this newborn king of the Jews, so utterly overwhelmed with joy upon finding Jesus, that they lay prostrate on the floor in front of him, offering these precious, costly gifts, that they ultimately return home by this different route because they are still paying attention to God's movement and guidance, which always seems to be kind of behind the scenes in this magnificent story. And they know not to tell Herod where the Christ child is. These magi pay such close attention to what God is doing, and that they take such decisive action to respond to all that they have seen and dreamed and heard. My goodness, what an incredible story of God's love made manifest in our world. It truly is no wonder that the celebration of Epiphany is one that is so significant to people of faith throughout the ages and across the world. There is so much to unpack and understand and explore in this awesome story. And yet, as we began today, I invited you to pay attention to what resonates for you and to imagine how you might have seen and responded to God's heavenly revelation of love for all people. Because the good news, especially as we contemplate a new year with new opportunities, new possibilities, new beginnings, the good news is that God is always at work bringing light and love to this world. And this Epiphany story forces us to ask ourselves, how are we responding? How will we respond to the new thing God is doing among us? How will we respond to all that light and love God has for all? You know, as we consider this Epiphany story at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, we effectively see two very different responses to the light and to the love that God is trying to make known in the world. Right? So on the one hand, we see King Herod and these chief priests and legal experts. And then on the other hand, we see the Magi. And I want to encourage us today to consider both of these. Because as we think about who they are and how they respond, friends, they really help us imagine if and how we too are responding to God's work in the world. Right, so for just a moment, let's consider that the author of Matthew immediately and purposefully locates this story in the time and in the realm of King Herod. And for the original audience, and really even for us, once that's done, this forces us to remember who Herod was. King Herod was ruthless. He was known to be power-hungry, untrustworthy, an incredibly violent ruler. While he created this name for himself in the Roman Empire through these huge building projects and architectural achievements that people flock to the Holy Land to see, he was also notorious for being exceedingly paranoid about losing his throne, even murdering his own family members if ever he felt threatened. In addition, the author of Matthew reminds us that King Herod relied on the chief priests and the legal experts of the Jewish people to help him as he ruled in Judea. And though these chief priests and legal experts had likely formed a very fragile and I can only imagine anxiety-inducing alliance with Herod, they were nonetheless people who would have had at least a little bit of power and privilege when compared with the majority of the Jewish and indigenous populations in ancient Palestine. And what is more, they were also supposed to be the ones who were on the lookout for the long-awaited, the long-hoped-for Messiah King. They were the religious experts and leaders. And if it maybe starts to make us a little bit uncomfortable, and maybe you're thinking, ugh, Pastor Ashley, why are you talking about the political and religious strife in ancient Palestine? Well, friends, I bring it up because, again, I think the author is helping us to understand who these characters are in our story so that perhaps we can learn from why they respond the way they do. The times in which the people of this story are living are dark times. They are hard times. They are dangerous, unpredictable, contentious, troubling times. If we were to keep on reading chapter 2 in Matthew, then in Herod we would see the catastrophic damage that can happen when someone in power cares more about keeping power than paying attention to God's purposes in the world to bring light and love and life to all people. And in the chief priests and legal experts, as we learn more about them throughout the entire Gospel of Matthew, we see those who have utterly missed this phenomenal movement of God to reach the world with God's love. Maybe they've had their noses in their books too long, something I can sometimes relate to. Maybe their focus is on telling everyone else the right way to live. They're so perhaps caught up in their own worlds and their own rules and regulations that they forget to look up and to look around for the grace and the light and the unexpected ways that God shows up in this world so that all people might know God's amazing love. Friends, this morning we have the opportunity to contrast these leaders with power and privilege and knowledge and facts about where the Christ was to be born with the mysterious magi, those people the author of Matthew describes as coming from the east and searching for the King of the Jews. So many commentaries suggest that these magi were perhaps astronomers or astrologers, that maybe they were Persian priests or interpreters of dreams, that they were people, and perhaps they were men, who were wise. They were paying attention, right? We don't really get a clear idea of their identities or even their names. We don't even actually know how many of them came, though tradition presents them as three people because of the three gifts they bring. But regardless, it is clear that they are people who are paying attention to the skies. They are paying attention to what God is doing in the world, and they are caught up in this cosmic moment of God's manifestation of light and love to the world. And they arrive in Jerusalem not filled with expertise or pride, but rather asking for directions. And they show up unpretentiously seeking help to find this thing that God has done. And they make it clear in multiple verses that their intention is to worship the Christ child. And in verses 9 and 10, when this holy, mysterious star somehow comes to a halt and stops right over this house, this place where Jesus is staying, though the magi are overwhelmed with joy. The direct translation says that having seen the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. It was a lot of joy. And then they lay again, prostrate on the ground at the feet of Jesus, offering to him these very costly, very personal, very self-sacrificial gifts, gifts that were typically offered to those who were kings of the day. This response we see in these unnamed, unknowing, mysterious foreigners is an overwhelmingly joyful determination to journey toward the light, to journey toward the love that God manifested in the world so that they might worship this child king, a king who comes not from their own people, but who somehow they still and yet recognize and know is worthy of worship and sacrifice and praise. The response of these dear children of God is not only filled with humility and wonder, joy and intention, but is also filled with deep discernment and thought, with care and concern. For even as it seems they do not stay very long to worship the Christ child, they respond to God's leading in a dream to go home a different way, risking the wrath of that paranoid King Herod, yet choosing still to follow the light and to follow the love of God revealed to them even in a dream. Friends, do you see how joining with me and how hopeful and how empowering these people are and their response can be for us, how promising it might be to us in this new season of life to consider responding to God with that same humility and wonder, that same joy and intention, that same deep discernment and thought, that same care and concern we see modeled in the response of the Magi to this new thing that God has done in the world. How will we respond to God in these our own difficult and distressing days? What might we do to increase our awareness of God's light and love, God's activity and work all around us in these days? Because much as we don't want to be responding to God the way Herod did, right, with paranoia or a false sense of threat to our own power, much as we don't want to be responding to God as the chief priests and the legal experts did, albeit much more complacent than Herod, but equally as upsetting, because at the end of the day, they totally miss the star. They totally miss the sign and are completely oblivious to this amazing thing God has done. And their unconcerned inaction, well, friends, that just leaves no room for God's light and for God's love, for God's mercy and justice, for God's deep desire to redeem and restore all people in God's world. Much as we don't want to be responding to God in these ways, friends, I feel we must be mindful how easy it is, especially in hard times, to sometimes forget to simply look up, to forget to simply look around and to see what God is doing in our lives. The responses of Herod and of the chief priests and the legal experts remind us how dangerous it is to ourselves and to others when we fail to see God's light in our lives and in our world. And yet in the response of these magi, it's like God takes that manifestation of light and life and God just magnifies it and multiplies it and helps us to see what joy there might be in living each day like we believe that God could show up at any given moment with a new invitation to be a part of the light and the love God is always revealing in this world. And so perhaps the hope and the joy of this first Sunday of worship in this new year is that we have a new opportunity in what may be some dark and difficult days ahead to choose to respond to God's light and to God's love as the Magi did. Paying attention, seeing what God is doing among us, humbly placing ourselves in worship before a God who is faithful, a God who is faithful to fill us with all of the wisdom and discernment and the care and the grace that we need and that it takes to accept God's continual invitation to be part of helping others see all that light and all that love that God has for this world as well. I mean, don't we all want to belong to that light? Don't we all want to be part of that love? Perhaps today these magi teach us to pay more and better attention to the new thing God is doing in our lives and in our world. And when we do, when we pay attention, you know, all that exceedingly great, extravagant joy they had when they saw the star stop over the true light of the world, the Christ child. I mean, maybe, just maybe, we can catch hold of some of that joy as well. Because, friends, I have to tell you that is what stood out to me in this text. That is what resonates with me in this scripture, that joy that comes from finding the divine love of God from which we all come, to which we all belong, and one day to which we all return. That joy that comes in trusting God to guide us through every unknown new day and time, especially when it's hard, especially when it's dark, especially when we or our dear ones are struggling. I don't know about you, but I want to be looking up. I want to have my eyes wide open, looking around all the time and paying attention for what God is doing and where God is moving so that I might catch hold of that great joy that comes from responding to God and sharing God's light and love, especially in these hard times. So friends, as we take a few moments to consider how we might respond this Epiphany Sunday to a God who has reached out to us in a phenomenal way, as we prepare our hearts to gather around the communion table of grace and joy, I invite you to think about the joy that comes with seeing and responding to what God is doing in our lives and in our world. Where do you see God at work? Where do you find joy in belonging to that work? Think about this, pray about this, maybe share in the comments section or share with a friend again. Where do you see God at work in your life, in our world, and where do you find joy in being part of that work? I know for me, the star that you see above me is just one tangible example and reminder to me of the joy that comes from responding to the light of God. This particular star belongs to the Mickelson family, a dear family in our church. Myron Mickelson grew up in a home where each year a Moravian star was placed in the window of his house, and he lived in a community where such stars were placed in the front windows of every single home. Can you imagine walking around and seeing stars like that? The Moravian star has roots in the Moravian church, and with these multifaceted points of light that just radiate out from it, it serves as a reminder of the star that God sent to let the world know about the love God has for all people. Now, if you've worshiped with us in years past, then you may recall an even larger Moravian star that would hang in our sanctuary each year during the Christmas season. And that star also belongs to the Mickelson family. And for the past 30-plus years, a father and son team have taken great time and great care to put the star together and to put it up for all to see. And that tradition of the Moravian star brings great joy and great hope to the Mickelson family, as it has for generations, and at some point, they simply asked if they could share that family joy with everyone who would enter the Cokesbury Sanctuary in the Christmas season. And I know I am so grateful they did. I remember that star. And I am so grateful they responded in this tangible way to the opportunity to share God's light and love to the world around them, so that even in the midst of this difficult time when we as a church family can't worship in our sanctuary, they still share this smaller family star with us to remind us of all that God continues to do in our midst, of all that light God continues to invite us to share with God's world. Friends, this is the joy that comes with seeing and responding to what God is doing. It is in the small and in the big choices of each day, of each season. And we have the opportunity to look up, to see, and to participate in the light and in the love of God. So as we celebrate the Epiphany, the manifestation of God, the opportunity to see all God is doing in the world around us, as we come to the table of grace, may we respond to God and to one another with the great joy that comes from sharing the light of God's grace and love with all we meet. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.